All right, folks, welcome to the Musky 360 podcast. Jay Bird.
Stevie, live in the house.
Live.
No, I mean literally.
Literally you're in your house.
Right now. I can see you.
I'm peering out the window. I can see neighbor Wally's. He's going down tonight. I'm done.
Well, we got those pair of fawns, you know, roaming the neighbor, terrorizing Hemlock, by the way.
Literally. Yep. I pulled the closest thing to a Disney princess move you've ever seen moments ago. Nearly fed a deer from my hands. I'm the fawn whisperer.
Yeah, that's what they're calling you right now in town.
In town. All seven people that live here.
That's a pre-bingo statement, by the way.
Folks, this is going to be brief but epic.
Yes, I hope so.
Here's what I got to tell you.
Okay.
Jay and I Googled how to cheat at bingo last night.
We did. Got red flagged by the government, but right. We'll get past that.
Right. Because we're about to go hustle these Northwoods fools at bingo, mm-hmm. Right? Jay will be acting as my manager, Snake Plissken.
Plissken.
Oh, Snake Plissken. Yes. The great bingo hustler.
Yeah, my real name's John, but they call me Snake.
Right, right. And I'll be Quincy Delacroix, the Southern bingo savant.
Yes, he's a savant, folks, and there's nothing he can't do with a bingo card.
Listen.
Hey, I've managed several legends in the past. The backstory's all together, so it's a matter of execution.
Right. Listen, we got wireless mics. We're going to see what we can make happen. Yeah. And we're going to go to bingo. It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. You're in the Northwoods. What else do you do?
Fish.
We're going to do that, too. We have been, and we apologize. Sunday, got into town, rolled in, just beat to death. We had to crack some Pepsis there. We are rocking and rolling as hard as we can on more Musky Shop videos as far as the Ultimate Musky Fishing Series. Just getting the stuff out, getting the info, getting it out there to you folks. Hot, yeah. Hot info. Hot!
Got a bunch of content in the works. Tub. It's going to be cool.
Yeah, it's cool. We were filming in the shop today. You know, you're in there, everybody's coming in and they're buying their stuff and their things. And,
yeah,
you know, just trying to do the breakdown. So going to delve deeper into some of this tactical stuff that's happening here right after bingo.
That's the order of events tonight.
Priorities.
This is after bingo, baby.
Listen, you know, thousands of dollars on the line. Jay's gambling. Like he's been. If you've ever seen somebody right. That rolled around in, like, you know, insulation, that's how itchy he's been to gamble today. It's been disgusting. Jim nearly sent him home from work today. He was like, he was just itching. He was looking up bingo odds on the company time, mm-hmm. You know?
Just well, itchy. To be honest with you, there's not a lot of information on how to cheat at bingo since it is a random game. Mm-hmm. And we both found that out the hard way on YouTube last night.
Lost a lot of money.
There are some interesting
videos. Oh, that one guy. I cannot condone that.
Don't Google bingo how to cheat. Don't Google that.
You're on a government watch list immediately. Yeah. Anyway, back to musky fishing. we got some stuff going on. I'm pulling up the big screen of my cell phone now. The comings and the goings.
Ooh.
Not much happening. However, a couple new hats. Couple of new things going on at the Musky Shop. I think they had the Big Angry. The biggest thing I tell you right now is the restock. A lot of the restock stuff came in this week. So if there's anything you're looking for, either you got a notification or that's going to be happening. And then the other point of interest. Mm-hmm. We're minutes away from the Musky Shop bash.
Saturday.
Saturday, baby.
Starts at noon. Get there early.
Saturday,
get there at 11 if you want. Yep.
And the Musky Shop.
The more vendors. After we got more vendors just today. You know.
I think we're
close to 36 booths now.
What's amazing is this year we are making the vendors fight it out. Whatever vendor is standing, that's the only brand we're going to sell after the bash, right?
Not necessarily, Steve.
Okay, I thought this was like a death match of vendors.
No, there's
folks. I'm sorry to inform you. It's a friendly event. I thought it was vendor death match where they come in. It's like, Wolverine split rings takes out.
I hate your book tales.
And they're just killing
it. It's go time.
And it's like, and it's just like, you got the guys from B&N Tackle. And we have, it's like, I thought it was like Mortal Kombat of Musky Baits.
Well, then you got the Smitty booth. I mean,
they're going to win. I was betting that the Smitties would win the Kumite of Musky Baits.
We have to be really careful that we don't set them too close to certain vendors because, you know, like if he's too close to Shimano and he's using Daiwas right now,
dead.
Sparks will fly.
Spark them. In the great Musky Kumite, I'd put the Smitties right there at the top.
No. Okay.
But. We'll put their booth somewhere over next to Lynn's Truck Center.
No, but really, we're going to have huge discounts that day only. It's not going to be online. It's just for people at the bash for that four-hour period. Big discounts. And all these vendors are bringing giveaway stuff, too. And a lot of them are offering things like buy three of this and get something. Not to mention, you know, shortly after we're done talking with everybody and letting them have their 5 minutes to really explain and go over what's new, what's happening, what their product is, whatever it may be.
What's
we're going to be giving
baby?
Away raffles.
Wow.
There's countless raffles.
Is that like a waffle with no... What's a waffle?
Raffled.
Oh, my bad.
Raffled. What else do you call it?
I mean, waffle.
Gift bags?
Gift bag. Happy sacks. Come get your happy sack.
That must be a Tennessee thing because we don't do that here. It's like
raffles.
Soda or pop, you know.
Will there be meat raffles or meat be sold?
Meat will be sold. possibly no hamburgers now. Some people are voting down that. It's full Northwoods brats and wieners. You got Fred's hot dog stand, which is going to be great. That's just always a booming thing to, you know. He's got the little apron going. Well, it's a big apron.
Fred's mighty wiener stand.
Yeah, and with our energy drink, what's it called?
Northwoods Musky Hog Sauce.
Yeah, so we'll have those till they're gone.
It's going to be fun.
It is going to be
It's going to be different this year where we go around and Jay and I will be bothering everybody, I believe. But what I'll tell you is this. The setup, when you got the pros, the Texan pros, some of the hottest Texan pros in musky fishing will be there. This is going to open up the opportunity for you to go and take your questions to them one-on-one. If you're like, hey, what do I do with a Talon from B&N? You know, go ask them in person. I'll say this. If you're coming to the bash, don't be apprehensive about asking questions to these manufacturers or the pros one-on-one. That's what they're there for. You're not, I hate to think, Jay, pretend you're a hardened musky pro. You know the fish are shallow when there's dew on your sneakers, right?
Right.
And the kid comes up and they ask you a question, you just blow them off like, hey, Mr. Musky Pro. Like, what bucktail do I use? And you're like, no!
No such thing as a dumb question.
No
there
such
is
thing.
Not. I mean, this feel free not- to... Yeah, everyone's totally approachable at this thing.
Yes, except for the Smitties. Steer clear.
Yeah, well, we've got that caution tape. In a 10-foot
radius
around.
If you enter that, our insurance company will not acknowledge anything.
Correct.
It's a right... You know, we've been talking to them. You know, you enter the Smitty zone at your own risk. There's actually going to be one of the people that works seasonally at the shop with a disclaimer. Before you approach the Smitty booth, you have to sign it.
There's waivers to be signed when you approach Smith Tackle.
Just watch out.
We told them, it's just like, don't bring shank and knives to this event. It's a family-friendly
event.
They'll
be making them right there.
Yeah, they...
Yeah. He was on that show, Forged in Prison. It wasn't Forged in Fire. He was...
Oh, the original was Forged in Steel, though.
Well, it wasn't.
And that was inspired by Forged in Prison, which was a show based in the late 70s that was only had a pilot, and that was about Russ Smith back in the day.
The old shank and
Sorry, Smitty.
No.
Sorry, Smitty.
We'll have a great time. We know we'll have a good time, the NJ.
Lots of pros and lots of
Texan pros.
Manufacturers going to be there. I mean, you name it. I can't even go down the list because we don't have time to read the entire list. Plus, I don't have it with me right now. So.
Well, the disappointing thing is when you show up and we've been lying for 6 months, it's just me and Jay in a parking lot because we're lonely.
Standing next to your boat.
Please come hang out with us. Just two guys in a parking lot.
Yep. Well, the boat's clean. It's looking good. Okay, Jim will have his out there, too.
You know, yesterday, you're like, where's my podcast? These idiots. They didn't do it yesterday. I had to get the boat out that long of a drive and everything and got out. And I look at Jay, and he can attest. I just look at him and said, do muskies ever get lonely?
That was last night's question.
Just creepy weird. Uh-huh. You ever feel sad? You're just sitting in the weeds looking for a perch to eat. You're like,
yeah. They're solitary creatures, you know. They're loners, man.
I'm lonely. Okay. Anyway, what I can tell you is this, guys. If you're getting dialed in on a bite right now, it is a different ball game. I would say as far as outside of anything out of Canada, it's definitely what I'm hearing. The reports I'm hearing, Jay, last night, we went out 3-point bait check. We spent very little time before we were starving to death. Went out there and just kind of hit this thing, and you're looking around, and you're going, you need to be versatile. I think that's the key right now. The what we were seeing were some suspended fish.
Sure was.
There's fish on bottom. There's fish.
Yeah.
It's like, it's kind of the Mixolydian musky scale, if you will, for the people that know that. But it's a mixed up kind of grab bag musky fiesta. You know, what do you got? Where are they at? Are they in the weeds?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Are they on the bottom? Yes. Are they suspended? Yes.
Percentages. Yeah.
Yeah. Where are they at? They're not in the woods. I can tell you that much. Mm-hmm. They're not in the woods. So that's something to consider on this end of things. But in the spirit of drinking a ton of Pepsis and going to play bingo, which will be the most epic podcast of all time, we're going to get to some Q&A here. Cover
all right.
Some stuff. We're going to get after it, Todd. Looking to buy a new St. Croix Premier musky rod. He's dialed in. He knows what he wants.
Yep.
But mostly used 9 and 10-inch Suiks, diving rise, grandma's 10-inch baits. Any suggestion on the length of my rod? What do you think? Rod length. Here's the thing. If you're doing 9, 10-inch Suiks, you're doing Grammys. That.
Did you say 9-inch Grammys?
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
So, dive and rise jerk bait. I mean, it's one of these things of almost, if you're really solely, that's a loaded question, because it's funny, we were filming a rod selection video today, right?
That was the last thing we filmed, yeah.
Which was like, everybody needs a little bit of an idea what's happening there. What I'll tell you is, if you're like jerk bait only, because not a lot of people just cast grandmas, it's not a deal.
Yeah, the 9-inch grandma is so much more often trolled than casting,
but
for whatever reason.
It can be a good casting bait.
Sure, absolutely.
And if you think about it, this guy's throwing Suiks, he's throwing grandmas.
Yeah.
Thin profile is working for him. Right? That's both of them are thin profile and a wide, thin and wide profile. If I'm dialed in on something of this nature, because it's funny, like 45 minutes ago, I'm talking about specialist setups, right? And again, you know, just you guys get it, the podcast, because that's it, basically saying somebody that's trying to get dialed on something new. The guy that's going into musky fishing for the first time does not need a Tranks 500, right? And an extra heavy rod.
That's your example of a specialist reel in that case. Sure.
Right. That's a specialist reel, and an extra heavy rod is a specialist rod.
Yes.
Whereas something of the nature of like the Booker stuff, he's got like the St. Croix changing so much anymore, but there would be like the downsizer rod that had the backbone to throw JB Rattlers through 700, which was a specialist setup. If you're throwing Suiks and grandmas jerk bait style, you know what you want presentation wise. If I'm solely going with a specialist setup, right, your sole goal is the best way to get the presentation out of this, I'm actually going with a short rod, Jay.
Shorter rod.
There was this, you know, the St. Croix Premier series back in the day, it was 6.6, 6.9. Do you know off the top of your head what we've got as far as like St. Croix options?
You were talking about doing that last video. Yeah, yeah. The last customer I was trying to help out was exactly looking for that, too. He was looking for a rod that doesn't quite exist anymore, unfortunately. And we were both talking about...
What was it?
Like a 6'9" Premier. They used to make an extra heavy. They, you know, and that's long gone.
My dad basically...
Sure. Great jerkbait rod. Very stout rod.
All of them. I've got a garage full.
I think I have one back here. Yet,
ridiculous.
But, yeah.
No, they were like... That was the Havana banana rod.
Sure.
For your post, we call post it jackpots post jack, and stuff.
Yep.
Jack.
Yep.
The post giant jackpot, we call a Havana banana. But your Suix, your reef hogs, your, you know, all your kind of like, you know, Prometheus jerk baits. 6'9" was money.
Yeah. They still make a 7-foot extra heavy. That's an awful short rod. I was thinking going with maybe a 7.6 heavy, and that would get the job done.
You've got that. Actually, I never even touched one until today, was the Muskie Shop Shield Rod 7-foot heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you guys are like, okay, here's the dichotomy. You've been saying get a big old Muskie rod for years. And now you're talking about this. We're talking special dialed in. I keep in my boat a 6'9" St. Croix Premier that I extended the rear handle because I'm so used to, like, shield rods have like this, it's based on a lot of what the guys at the shop and all this stuff. What's the right rear grip length? Where I extended that just with a Sawzall and glue. But where I've got the 6'9" for post giant jackpots. The Booker Dancing Raider, and that's about it. Like, if I am on a topwater Canadian walk the dog kind of deal, I'm not worried about a figure eight. Do you know why? Because it's not going to eat anyway. You're not going to get this freaking bite on the Pose giant jackpot or something boat side. So that is a specialist setup. I have literally a 6'9" St. Croix Premier with a freaking 6501 St. Croix ready to go. So if you're dialed in and this is the presentation style, I'd say shorter. With that 7-foot shield rod, what else, Jace? Like, kind of pull cue in that neighborhood, because it's so much easier to work jerk baits. I know we're both hacking, guys. If you hear it, we got freaking sprayed with pesticide. We're both coughing. Having a rod of that, you know, the short rod, something that's got a really pop in action. Jay's looking on his phone right now. He's closing out window after window of anime, though. It's going to take him a second. What do you think? Guys, wait. Okay. 4 days later. Jay's like, my phone's really slowing down. It's 400 links open of
there's
anime.
One shush now. There's one rod, and it's the Premier 7-foot extra heavy.
There you go.
And that's the one. And that thing is a 3 to 8 ounce rating. It's very stout, and it's the closest thing to the old 6.9s that they used to make in St. Croix and Fenwick back in the days.
Yeah.
So.
Well,
other than that, you know, and that's what the guy was asking about. He's like, I want something about 7.5. And it's like, you know,
right.
A lot of these rods that are still made in 7.5 foot are a little on the lighter side. They only go
well,
up to heavy.
Well, again, I thought we were going to get a bingo, and here we're talking about specialty stuff. But it is interesting from the standpoint that, you know, those rods were meant to be pull cues. We wanted them extra heavy. We wanted the snap out of them as much as we could get. And now the shorter rods are basically like women and children models. You know what I'm saying? They'll make a 7.5, all these different companies.
Most of them are on the lighter side, and they're all purpose situation type, you know, kayak fishing, something where You know, a log ride might be a little on the cumbersome side.
Yeah, well, there you go. Whatever.
Bingo.
We went down the freaking, I know, you said bingo. It's on your brain. You can't think about anything else other than losing your life savings, which is $83 at bingo tonight. Jacob, I bought a bulldog and saw it has UV on it.
Mm.
Is there any difference of baits with UV colors compared to the ones without? As far as action, absolutely not. As far as the way they're perceived under the water, possibly. Now, the next question is this. Can muskie see in the UV spectrum? No! I doubt it. Here's my thing, guys. As poor of a visual predator that they are, the fact, like, can they see in the UV spectrum? I'm betting no. You know?
Interesting.
Like, think about it. You have, you know, it's disproportionate light reception for a muskie versus color perception.
Are you talking about color perception in the muskie's perspective?
I'm talking about being able to pick up UV. Could you see in the ultraviolet spectrum, Jay?
There's one thing with the UV paint jobs for a human perspective, and that's all I can relate to, Steve. That's all I can relate to.
What is that?
When you take that stuff outside versus inside under incandescent or fluorescent, they turn a different shade. They have an aura to them, a glow, and they turn a different color. And there's not a lot of folks incorporating UV paint in their paint schemes right now. Remember the Storm Flat Six, those noisy bad boys that you used to love?
Love them.
You know, that they dropped those, and it's like, most of those were UV.
They made this Storm.
And they were very, very effective, but it was such a small niche kind of deal. They dropped them for whatever
reason. Guys,
that's those darn big companies.
I apologize. If we've picked, if you hear a slight, tiny buzz in the background, Jay's meth lab just kicked on.
Those guitar amps are warming up. They're tube amps, baby.
Is it?
Yeah, freaking. We're gonna rock
now,
and roll.
With the UV thing, the flat sticks, I mean, they stood out like nobody's business in muddy water. Do I think that it's gonna make? I don't think it's gonna make a difference. I'm sorry. I've heard guys talk about bucktails that are UV and they glow or something of that nature. Maybe. But as far as UV paint jobs, I think it's confirmation bias. I think it's like, oh, they're hitting the UV, you know, muddy skipperjack color. Are they? Or are you just putting in the right place? That's me. Way to crap on the party, Steve.
What a downer, huh?
What a downer.
It just brings me down to earth.
Don't bring me down. Bruce. Max. Trolling. How much line are we putting out? It's middle of July. Water depths. What should I be trolling in? Water temps. You know, pushing the max thing here. Pushing that 80 mark. I heard that today. A couple people.
His water's pushing. Yeah.
We
had a friend of ours that came in and from out of town today, and he was on some real dark water, and you bet it was pushing 80. For us, as cool as a summer as it's been, the last 5 days, Steve's like, you know, you rolled down here, you used to heat, it was what, 98 back home yesterday?
Yeah, it's hot.
Just insane.
Hot!
You know, so,
right. Yeah,
we've had a lot of warm weather.
Yeah, you get
jacking up the water temps.
You get warm and flat, and that happens, so... You know, you're pushing that the upper limits. How much line to run, but what kind of depth range? You know, that's the question.
That's always the question with trolling.
It can vary greatly. You know, we want to consider in some capacity where forage is staged. Ye old 3-point bait check is going to get you there. So if we're seeing baits, Jay and I did some trolling yesterday. We were out for we didn't even fish. I mean, we just got the boat wet. But, you know, I'm seeing bait balls and things of that nature staged at 7-8 feet. So I'm checking the app. I'm going to Muskie 360 app open on your phone. Most of your baits are on there. Most of your serious trolling, your grandma, your Jake's, your grandma's.
Supernatural baits.
That's always... I don't know any other baits, Jay.
Headlocks and matlocks, baby.
Grandmas.
A troller's dream come true. So
you've got B&N tackle. You've got Leo lures. You've got Booker stuff. You got your headlocks. Your
Livingston.
Mat, your matlocks. All that stuff.
Slammer.
Slamma jammas. They're on there. So you can get a pretty good approximation of your running depth, in, you know, commensurate to your line length and your speed. I'll tell you, if I'm pushing the upper limits of heat, right? It's getting hot out there. It's getting dicey.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just like any other time. I might go with the tried and true 2 feet under the bait. Sometimes during the middle of the day, we can get a little bit lower, right? About to sneeze. What is going on? Me and you have been fighting hiccups, sneezes, and everything in the last fifth.
Humidity and pollen and
frickin', it's just if you could stagnant. See us right now, it's like covering of mouths and foul body sounds. But what I would say is this. Don't be afraid if you can run a spread, you got a buddy in the boat, you got a mannequin in there, whatever it is, where you control multiple lines. Don't be afraid to have one that's like a little bit deeper. Jay, take over on that as far as like searching, because I'm literally about to sneeze so bad I might die.
Literally, another thing you don't want to Google search for is how to cheat at musky trolling.
No.
Because the search results will disappoint you. It's just a picture. So, yeah. I mean, I think Steve, you know, I think what he's getting at is just like he wants a basic overview. What's going to happen? You got pushing warm temps, midsummer. Peak summer temps, I got baited a certain height, and like Steve was touching on there earlier, it was all over the place. It was all the when we were in the deeper parts of the lake, bait was staging around 7 to 8.
Right,
we saw bait balls that were higher than that in the shallower areas, like let's say off weed breaks when we're off, you know, up to 6 foot points, and then it breaks down to 12 pretty quick, and we were fishing those edges, Pepsi. And, yeah, of course, they were at different locations, and some of them were hugging the bottom.
Mm-hmm. What I would say is this, the most important thing you can do, think about your structural elements, think about that game plan, right? In the middle of the day, the more doggy it is, don't be afraid to get down low and dirty. Don't be afraid to get, you know, right off the bottom or right off cover and structure. It's going to treat you well every time. Jay, we have to go to bingo. Right?
Okay.
We're getting there, guys.
Yep.
You know, it's becoming a thing here. We promised we would go. Okay.
We also have some special, Jody Michael. I don't know how she does this. How does she do it, Steve? You live with her.
Black magic.
Okay. She created some of the nicest little 360 gifts. Can I give it away? Give it away now?
Well,
or is it going to be a visual thing for podcast?
Well, whatever. There's some.
They're just. It's
just
so
coming. It's not for everybody. It's for podcasters only. Well, yeah. You could tell them, Jay.
Yeah.
Jay seen my wife's koozie. I got him. Jay. Wow. Jay, tell the listeners about my wife's koozie.
Yep. One side says Musky 360, and you guessed it. The other side says I Heart Pepsi.
Right. No trademark on that, though.
Nope.
Just
font's wrong, too. So we ownership of that now.
Well.
That's a slogan to take to the bank.
Take it to the bank.
Oh, kidding me? Bingo.
Bingo. It's in his blood, folks. No, me and Jay will be floating around at the bash. We're going to be out there. But if you're a podcaster, just say, hey.
Yeah, please do.
I want to get my hand on your koozie. We got a koozie for you.
We had podcasters in from how many different states today just when we were in filming? Georgia, South Dakota, Minnesota.
Tampa.
Is that a state?
Sault Ste. Marie.
Sure.
You found my weakness, Jay. I don't know what states are.
Okay. Well, onward.
Onward. Forward and onward. Onward and forward. Steve Areno crushed a muskie with a Kraken. It's been hard fishing all week on Lake of the Woods, but the Kraken saved her trip. I was fooling around at the dock, telling fishing stories with other groups, kind of pissed because my trip. Yeah, okay, grab, blah, 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 blah. Sorry. Oh, he picked. Okay, so Dude picked up a fish off the dock on Lake of the Woods on the Kraken. God bless you. Thank you so much for sharing. I'm glad it saved the trip.
That's very cool.
That's very good.
Another man emailed this morning. I never got a chance to show you that, Steve.
What?
And he was fishing Niagara River system, and he's been using the Steve's meat grinder, right?
Right.
He got a 49 and a half or 49 and a quarter.
Uh-huh.
His PB, and it was a big fat fish, and he's super happy and very appreciative of information on the podcast.
Nice.
That led to that fish. So sent the photo. It was awesome. So congrats. Sorry I don't have your email in front of me, but yeah, that was really cool too.
Ty says, I want to hear about your thinking regarding fishing for muskies in warm water and delayed mortality.
Sure. It happens, baby. You got to be careful. You know.
Delayed mortality.
Give him your hold your breath underwater routine, Steve. Do it. What do it that? Now.
What do you mean?
Well, when you take a muskie out, you
the
know,
Senate
and it's
is
85 degrees out and it's sunny.
Interest in your progress,
you know?
Huh?
You know,
I'm doing my best, Emperor Palpatine, right now, Jay.
Yeah, if we're taking a muskie out of the net while fishing in this kind of weather, you know, when it's 85 and sunny, it's not coming out for long. It's going back as soon as possible. If you need to get a picture, make it quick and handle it right.
Try not to kick them.
Try not to drop it.
Don't punch him. Mm-mm. Don't punch him. Here's the deal. I've taken great interest.
Okay, he's getting serious now. Here it comes.
I've listened to a lot of Star Wars books on tape in the last month. Anyway, here's the deal. I believe that warm water does stress fish, but I don't believe that fish that eat in warm water are stressed until handled, right? Years back, did a thing with Jordan Weeks and all this stuff. Whatever. I'm not here to shit in anybody's Cheerios. I don't care. If you're ever there and you got a house on Succotoban and you kill every muskie on that lake, it has zero effect on me. Do what thine will, right? But for the betterment of the sport and the best way to do things, I believe that minimal handling is the key. Now, how do we minimize handling? Right? Number one, less hooks. Right?
Less hooks.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
So,
see where you're going.
Something's interesting. When I design a bait, guess what everybody hacking? Dude, it's,
man,
it's
I tell
killing
ya.
Me. Sorry, yeah. if you hear us coughing.
Yeah. Air's going to dry out tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it.
We got the freaking worst batch of meth this afternoon.
Yeah.
And it's eating us alive.
Yeah.
I've been sniffing all day.
Baby blue.
Freaking airplane glue just messing me up. Usually the airplane glue will straighten me out.
Poor Tom had the sniffles too at work today.
Well, who we bought that shit from. Anyway. So, less hooks. I have seen multiple muskies ripped, torn, and mauled in the dead of winter or fall on 13-inch grandmas with 3/7-aughts. They hit the head of the bait, and they get two in the head and one in the... I mean, you're basically pulling the fish by their dorsal fin because a 13-inch grandma's whipped them in the back. Whatever. So, if you're concerned about it, less hooks are better. Most of the time when I'm running my Krakens, I'll run a BKK 5-aught in the head now and a 7-aught on the back. That's plenty, or things of that nature.
Right.
So,
it's a 3-hook bait. You're taking off that center hook. You've
right. Not all the time, but that's,
okay.
I'm confident, and it is a bait designer. Guess what people love? More hooks. Can't miss. More hooks better. We talked about,
well,
we talked, hold on.
Yeah.
Flat out, and we won't say what it was. Someone brought in a nice product today, and you and I were presented with the product, and we both had the same reaction where we went, ah, the perception.
Yeah.
Right? Bigger is better. More hooks is better. You can't miss. Right? So, less hooks. If you're going, every fish I'm catching on my tube or my cracker to this is head shooting it. Okay, maybe you can ditch the center hook. I put it on there. I'm telling you can ditch it if you want. I don't miss fish. Followed by that creates less impact on the fish. So he's not, now he's hooked in the mouth and he's also not hooked in the side of the head, right? With say a trolling bait or whatever it might be. Take that in conjunction with the fact if it's one less point to get rolled up in the net, right? Which causes stress. I believe wholeheartedly the majority of the stress happens to the muskie in the net and what happens. The rubber meets the road there. I have timed it. I have never been a part of a muskie fight that was anywhere near a saltwater fight or anything like this. I've had some crazy hook fish where we couldn't land them and the drag was messed up and the reel screwed up. These are short engagements.
They are, right. Right?
So, in a typical muskie thing, they hit, we get them, they're in the net, it's under a minute, quickly under a minute, if not even 30 seconds. You know, I always make the joke, 10 seconds of effort for 10 seconds of excitement, right? Hit, got him, got him. How we handle them in the net matters more so than anything. First and foremost, cut the hooks, cut the bait, get it out of the net for you and the fish. Number one. Right? Start cutting points off the hooks from the rip. That's always my first move. I don't play around with like trying to save a 50 cent hook or a $2 hook. I don't care. Cut it and get it out of the way, right? The time that it takes to unfurl the fish is a big deal. The second thing that I think that impacts mortality more so than anything is posing with the fish. And bump boarding the fish. Okay. Well, you're going, well, Steve, you get to fish all the time. Well, that's great. What I can tell you is this. I've measured plenty of them. You get a pretty good representation of where these fish are at. If you want to measure every single fish, feel free. I don't care. They're not my fish. But I'll tell you this. I will never, I'm about to go somewhere. I find the hypocrisy of conservation coupled with excessive handling to be insurmountable in my mind. If you must measure every 34 incher to prove it to the club, then it goes against anything because minimized handling. Now, I'll say this. Flat out, when I catch a fish, clients catch a fish, guess what we do? Fish is in. I cut all the hooks. We get it. My camera is ready. I don't take photos anymore. I do forward-facing video to make sure we get the fish. It is up. It is out. And I can time every catch. I don't have a muskie in the boat for any more than 10 seconds anymore. I can show you flip after flip after flip on my phone. That fish is not stressed for a breath. Right? It's in, out, and gone. If your face looks crappy in the photo, I'm sorry. Right? The second thing I do, I don't hold them anymore.
You're screenshotting. And when you have video, you can pick.
You can better stop it.
Yeah, there'll be a good expression in there if the eagle hold is that important to you.
The next thing I'm doing is this. People. Guess what I don't do? I freak out. I don't hold them by the tail anymore.
You mean full support with the other opposite hand under the belly?
For years, you gotta put a hand on them. You gotta put a hand on the tail. Let them go. They're in the water. That's where they're supposed to be.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, don't chuck them. Don't give them the Homer LeBlanc. Rah! What I do is I've got the head. So when the here's another thing, and I didn't think this question would come up. So first and foremost, when I lift the fish out of the net, I'm getting a grip on him in the water from underneath of him. I'm not trying to flip him over and doing all this kooky stuff or holding his head up and taking 5 minutes. Get him up under the gill plate, his head's in the water, supporting the body the entire time. I remember flat out, big fish as a kid, big fish, heck, up until 5-6 years ago, it clicked in my head. Pick him up by the head. He heard it. You heard something. This fish is straining. You're picking up a fish that is not really purviewed to this kind of force on them. One-handed, no support. Get your gill grab. Not gill grab, but you know what I'm saying? Get up under the head, support the body, and lift the fish out entirely, because we've said, I mean, I hate the internet for one reason, Jay. What's a great way to get people to really rip your ass in musky fishing? A vertical hold, right?
Yeah.
We're using
a boga grip or something.
Right. Vertical hold. Vertical.
There's so many bad ways of holding. You know, that'll get them going. That'll be a Facebook alarm. Hey. 5-star.
Think of this. What's the difference in holding it vertically versus the vertical lift out of the net? Mm-mm. Shut up, fools. Shut up. How are you getting them out of the net? I've seen a billion guys
grab my head. Stress.
Right. And they mule this fish up. And because we have supported the stomach for the photo, we are now not guilty of a negative impact. Whoa.
Yeah, yeah.
I call horse shittigans. Right? You have put force on that fish on the lift. So if you really care, get up under the fish when you're lifting. So support the weight of the fish. Stop putting all the weight of the fish on its head, spinal column, all that stuff. Lift them up. Hold them up. If you look like an idiot, put them back. The biggest fish I've caught in the last 2 years, Jay, we used it as a thumbnail. I look like a dirt merchant in it. I don't look great in that picture. We used it on, I think, the big rubber video.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
It's not a great picture. Who cares? Nobody's looking at you. They're looking at the fish. Well, I'm like,
I never noticed it.
But it's not, to me, it's not like an ego shot where I'm like, oh, I got the
big
one.
Big, heavy fish.
Right.
You're supporting it well, and the thing's wet. It's dripping, and it went right back in the water. That was just,
but
never got bumped, nothing. It's just like, it's big.
Big. It's, but that's the thing. Minimize the handling. And the funny thing is this, little fish aren't as fragile as big fish.
And yeah, big, yeah, for sure.
Right. And I'll tell you, like I said, stop measuring little fish, dude. Stop. If you gotta, I will argue with anyone, anywhere, that overhandling is the number one cause of mortality. I don't think there's a biologist in this game that would say minimizing handling is more important than minimizing hot water stress. Find them. I'll argue with them. Right, if it's a game of wits and a game of facts and figures, let's go. Because muskies are not biologically designed to be out of the air, exposed to ambient air temperatures, things of that nature. Minimize your handling, prep your photos. Don't be figuring out how you're going to take a picture. Figure it out before you get on the water. Right. Figure it out. Like, okay, talk to your buddy. Have a landing plan.
Make sure he knows how to use your phone.
We talk about it all the time, and it's not.
Well, here's where the net's going to be. Here's how you engage the handle.
Yep.
If I catch one, you're going to net it. Vice versa. It's just a checklist.
And
it's
I'll look at you. I'll go, all right, I'm about to point him out. Are you ready?
Yeah.
With the video camera, we got one shot at this. Fact. We have chucked fish out of me, you and Krieger.
You have put so many fish back in the water, and I'm going for like a artsy, you know, like a side shot or something. You're like, it's already gone. It's just fine, you know. So I try to move quick and, you know, just get like a close up of the head or something. As long as you're holding it there, I mean, it's an extra couple seconds, but no, it's a fast process with you.
That's the best thing you can do. That's the second best thing you can do. The number one best thing you can do is not throw 7-aught treble hooks at their head. And the hypocrisy what we're all doing is this. We're all arguing about how it's like coming into town with a bulldozer and you're going to crush everybody's house. You go, what's the kindest, gentlest way that we can crush this entire town and point the finger? I mean, we are causing harm.
Mm-hmm.
Jay's laughing. I can see it. Yeah. Dude, it's true. It's like, hey, listen.
Yeah.
I'm Genghis Khan. I'm coming to your town, and we're gonna take care of the horses and the women. What order do you want it? Well, if you want to be completely genteel, don't fish for them, right? So I'm not here to argue about what the rape and pillage is. What's the best way to rape and pillage in the least impactful way?
Mm-hmm. We're not here to talk about Muskie's feelings, you know.
Right.
Does it hurt? Does that hook hurt? Yeah, probably. No, some
point, probably, yeah. Yeah, you admit it.
They're an animal with the brain the size of a pea, you know, sport to me, sorry.
Right. Again, perfectly said. So, it's like I said, it's the freaking Mongols sitting on the ridge line going, well, we're a kinder gentle.
We're meat eaters, we're hunters that, you know, don't kill anything, you know, on purpose.
Well, you do.
You know, but...
Yeah. But you do.
Unfortunately, it happens.
Yep. I think at the end of the day... Not our intent. Not the intent. Just be honest with yourself and go, hey, man, this was negative from the get-go. It was a bad... Like I said, it's a bad thing from the get-go for the fish. What we need to do is not to beat each other up and scream because Johnny held one vertical. You go, you know what? What I have heard, and this is, son of a gun, if I got on the internet, I'd just Ben Shapiro everybody to death. But I'll say this. If you see somebody that needs help with this topic, berating is not positive. Just go, hey, I've heard that. This is more positive. Jay, I'm down the rabbit hole, and now I'm just going to kick the computer over. What are your thoughts? How do you minimize the impact? Hot water, handling, all of it. Do you only fish when the water's 57 to 59?
Hot water handling, if it's a 34-inch fish.
Let it go. Flip the net.
The hooks come out, and it's gone. I don't want a picture with it. If it's like one of the biggest fish I've ever caught, I'd like a picture with it, for myself.
But it's your first fish. Ever.
What's that?
It's your first muskie ever.
Absolutely, get a picture if you can.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah,
but
just make it as quick as you can.
But do we need to bump a 34 so our club members know we scored this
Not
week?
Me. Yeah. I don't.
Come on, give me a break.
I don't bump anything.
I got to go play bingo, folks.
Bingo.
Bingo. Anyway, Jaybird, let them know the Muskie Shop Bash coming up this weekend. You can get your fill of Freddy's delicious foods.
Yep. See, everybody, I hope you can make it. It's going to be a great day. See you at noon, Saturday, Muskie Shop, Minocqua, Wisconsin.
Later.
Bye-bye.